Helping small business grow is my passion. Hi, I'm Mark Boris, and I want to share that passion with you with my podcast, The Mentor. If you're into business, listen now on Podcast One as I get the stories from those just starting out and those on the verge of a major turning point. Join me for The Mentor, and I might just help your business grow as well. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Don't miss a minute of ruined dits for breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella. They're closer than you think.
Oh, good morning, Roo. It's the middle of the week. Now, give us a smile. Give us a smile. Oh, hey. It's all fixed. Hey. You've had the chipped tooth all done.
Look, all of a sudden, I look really smart, don't I? Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a Collingwood supporter anymore. Back to being a Crow.
So what did they have to do yesterday?
They just fix up the edges and do whatever they do. You can't really see. They'd give you a good old injection in the lip, and
in the
it
lip.
Feels like you've been punched in the face for about 4 hours.
So why is there pain involved with putting some sort of crown on it or something?
I don't know, to be honest. That's what they do, yeah. They give you a little jab, which doesn't hurt much, but you can't feel your front teeth and your nose and all that for a while.
Really?
So, yeah. No, they do a good job.
I haven't had that sort of injection before. Well, you look like a model again.
Thank you.
You got your looks
Thank
back.
You. No, yeah. I'm all good.
All right, happy. What's coming up today, Ruth?
We got Will Anderson coming on. We got Big Mal coming on. He had his birthday yesterday. We're going to do a phone a lady later on that about what movies you watch that make men cry.
I was
watching Braveheart last night.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, was that emotional?
It's not meant to be sad, is it?
Oh, I don't know. I was crying. I've lost the plot lately. I don't know. I think it's kids that do it to you, Dits.
Right.
But
gone soft.
Yeah, I've gone soft again. So we've got a fair bit happening. There's a bit of talk around about certain cars, and you think you're buying a car that is fuel efficient, and it's actually not. And they're talking about green cars as well as just your normal standard cars as well, and not just taking advantage of you a little bit, but they're saying up to 7 times different.
Well, a couple of the large manufacturers have been in trouble over the last couple of years about this on a worldwide scale.
Yeah, they got fined a fortune, didn't they?
Mm, yeah. Okay. So, no, a couple of the real well-known brands. Anyway, Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
What's making news, Roo?
Well, in Hawaii, Honolulu,
yeah,
they have banned people from walking across the road and texting at the same time.
Oh, you're joking.
It's finally happened.
Brilliant.
You've been calling for it, Ditch. You've
wow.
been disgusted in these people that haven't got the time or the respect to watch out what they're doing while they're walking along.
It's just ignorance. Happened to me again this week. A young girl in front of me, I had to get into a lift. And she's walking slowly, just ambling along with her eyes down into her phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so it blocked the whole opening of the lift and just stood there looking at her phone. I'm going, what are you doing?
Yeah. They walk into you when you're walking in, even on a footpath, because you're not watching. Actually, I've done that myself, I should say. When you're driving, I had to actually stop to let someone who was just not watching at all the other day. So exactly what they're talking about here. I think it makes sense to bring it in. Everywhere, really. I mean, it is dangerous. So
the fine for your first offence is somewhere between $15 and $35, and then it goes up a bit. And for your third time, if you get done, it's up to $99, the fine in Honolulu.
So not much, really, is it? But it's a start, and it makes
sense.
It's
a deterrent, for sure.
It makes sense.
Especially young kids, I think, if they get done, they won't enjoy paying fines of $30-odd dollars or $90-odd dollars.
No, it's more of a pain in the backside than anything.
Now, the federal government is being criticised heavily. Yesterday there were raids on the Australian Workers Union offices, and Labor is saying that it's Turnbull just playing games and using the police
Try and have a crack at Shorten.
Try and have a crack at Bill Shorten. So Bill Shorten's embroiled in this controversy. They're suggesting that there were illegal payments from the Australian Workers Union to Bill Shorten and to his campaign, and also to another organisation that I don't know much about. Now, on the surface, Roo, initially when I heard this, last century anyway, unions around Australia have always donated money to the Labor cause. It's not illegal and it's not new.
It depends how they're using it and where they're getting the money from, and there must be a fair bit to it. And they're talking big money, not little bits of money, I think.
But that, as I say, though, that's all. I mean, you and I can donate to whichever party we want. You can, if you wanted to, if you had the money. Political parties have always gone out and sought donations.
Must be more to it, I think.
Yeah, all right.
This is an outrageous abuse of power. It's an attack on democracy and it's massive overreach. We should be very concerned in this country where a government goes about directing their police to raid union officers.
What evidence do you have that the government's directed police to raid, to do a raid?
Well, you know, the first people to find out about this appear to be the media, who were all there beforehand. They found out before the union found out, so someone's told them. It's either their organisation, the Registered Organisation Commission, or it's Michaela Cash herself.
So there you go. That's interesting. Now, that was Sally McManus, Labor MP, talking on the ABC last night. But how's that? The media were waiting, so someone knew.
I tell you, the older you get, the more you realise how people use the media to set things up, don't they?
Oh, it's an absolute...
The whole thing's a setup, I think.
Crows have been doing it for years.
A lot of crooks out there. Let's turn our attention to...
That just went through to the keeper, didn't it?
Well, you know, it's not worth even talking about. Let's go to the world of AFL while you're on it, Dits.
Yeah.
A lad called Joel McDonald, you'd probably not even know his name, played for Melbourne and Brisbane, retired in 2013. In his last year of football, thought, I better start getting prepared for life after football.
Mm-hmm.
Started delivering booze on a Saturday night on the back of his scooter to people who needed it at a party and couldn't drive. All right. Got quite busy. Got his company sorted. Grew the company. It's called Get Swift. He's now worth somewhere between $100 and $200 million.
What?
Yep, in 4 years.
How?
It's a very simple
idea. Just delivering
idea.
Grog.
Delivering grog. But it's obviously it's gone to a new level. He's had a couple of American companies really interested in the software that he's developed. And, it's looks like going to be a worldwide business. So
I've just Googled it, and he's listed on the stock exchange as well now.
Yeah, so and that's where you obviously can make a bit of money, getting the multiples that you can get on there. And a bit of, probably similar to Uber, where you can just call and whoever's in the area can pick it up and drop it off. I haven't looked into it enough, but that's a lot of money. And congratulations, well done to him. Simple idea that makes very... good sense, easy to understand how it would work and who would use it, yet no one had come up with it 4 years ago. And that's sometimes stare you right in the eyes.
The market's really changed. A lot of businesses now don't have time to build their own solutions. So this is where we come in, and this is the vacuum we're really exploiting right now, where we're enabling a business, small or large, to dispatch like an Uber, offer that tracking experience like a Domino's, as well as optimize routes just like FedEx or UPS do. So this is for no upfront costs, and they just pay cents per endpoint, essentially.
So Joel McDonald there, speaking on 3OW in Melbourne. I find that amazing. As I said, I've just Googled it, and... Haven't people been delivering and doing this for years? I mean, what?
Have you ever rang anyone to deliver booze to you?
No.
And you're a drinker? I'm a drinker. I've never had anyone. There hasn't been. It's not like a pizza where you ring up and get it delivered, is it? If you run out of red wine or beer, you don't just get on the phone and get someone to deliver it, do you?
No.
Well, this is what you do.
He's found a market. Well done.
Yeah, it
brilliant.
Makes sense.
Well, a smart footballer.
Yeah.
That's a breaking story.
Footballer that likes drinking.
Yeah, okay.
That made it into a money-making exercise.
Gee, how did we not think of that? 6:16.
We just usually get stuck at the pub part. The footballers.
Yeah.
They don't take it to the next level.
Ruined. It's on Triple M.
Dave Benson, caravan and camper trailers. Begin your voyage and live your dreams.
I only have time for one breakfast show.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Oh, it's a very big week for Big Mal. Let's get him on. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Dits, and good morning to you too, Roo. Always a pleasure to speak to you guys at Triple M in Adelaide.
Happy birthday for yesterday, Big Mal. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Roo. Thank you very much. I'm 63. I'm getting stronger and wiser. And at least I'm not calcifying and chipping my tooth on breakfast.
No, that's right. Now, look, we here at Triple M, we think you're doing a wonderful job. We really do. But what can we get you for your birthday?
Yeah.
Well, listen, as a Scorpio, we love power and control. and we hate insincere flattery and personal questions, but I'll answer that one anyway. If I did have a wish list, I'd like Tony to get struck by the Manly ferry as he backstrokes across Sydney Harbour. No, seriously, that man shits me no end. Day in, day out, I'd like to see the yes vote go through so I can keep getting invited to the LGBTQI gay and lesbian Mardi Gras. Yep. I have a terrific time up at Stonewall, off chops after the parade. And and last night I got the greatest wish of all, a little bit of sweet loving from Luke.
Really?
On the couch. We just skinned up a fatty, took the edge off and had a nice bottle of Sangiovese. And watched the end of the... caught up on The Bachelorette.
Right.
Sophie Monk. I always have the disquieting feeling she's not wearing underwear, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah. Hey, what have you been staring up Tit Shorten a bit too, Big Mal? Sending the cops in.
Yeah,
to
the raid.
AWU.
Well, they should all be arrested. The Australian Workers Union, all of the communists, round them up. CFMEU to the C to the F to the MEU. If you're union, brother, I'm coming for you. Yeah, Malcolm Street. I'm down with the kids.
Right.
What about Four Corners? They also slammed the NBN, saying that New Zealand had 10 times faster download speeds.
Well, they do, Roo. Okay. Anyone who's tried to download anything in this country would have pulled their hair out. Look, the NBN is what I call an unmitigated train wreck. It's a dud and a farce. It's fibre to copper to Optus cable to Foxtel cables to balsa wood, Dolly's hair, used condoms. We'll use anything to get the node to the house.
Wasn't that your idea?
No, it wasn't my idea. I had to clean up a mess. As Minister for Communications, I was busy trying to kill the ABC, if you'll remember.
Oh, okay.
$254 million worth of cuts over 5 years. And I just tried to clean up Kevin Rudd's mess. I blame Telstra. I blame shoddy workmanship by fly-by-nights. And I don't like fly-by-nights, but I like saying fly-by-nights. And it's not my fault. Up the pipe, we've got fibre right up the wazoo. So what I suggest to you is get a place up the pipe and have a good life.
That's what I do. All right, we should all do that. Hey, just before you leave us, anything you're humming to this week? What are you singing?
Well, I'm singing along to Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday.
Oh.
I'm sure you would agree. Happy birthday. I don't know all the lyrics. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. And I do a great Stevie Wonder impersonation at home.
Okay.
Luce says it's a little bit racist, but there you go. Now, before I go today, I just want to say that Triple M is rocking Virginia.
Oh, Virginia.
What happens out there, guys?
A few tomatoes out there.
Okay. Good-o. Maybe they're hitting my supplier up because I've had some good gear lately.
Thanks, Big Mal.
Good on you, mate.
He joins us thanks to Dave Benson Caravans and Camper Trailers. The springtime sale is on right now at Dave Benson out there at Grand Junction Road.
Ruin Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Now, Roo, you know last week we spoke to Crane Guy.
Very informative chat.
There's a bloke out there, 13 stories up on a crane, and we asked him all about his job.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon we can go one better this morning.
All right.
We've got a bloke, two lads hovering outside our window right now, window cleaners.
Spying on us.
13 floors up. You can stick that right up your backside. I'm not joking. Now, his name's Ryan. Let's get him on. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. How you going?
Mate, how scary is that job?
Oh, it's not at all. Love it.
You're kidding?
Nah, great fun.
How long have you been doing it?
About 2.5 years.
Yeah, and so tell me about the very first time you had to do it. You must have been scared, surely.
Very first time I did Oaks Embassy, which is just over there. That's 16 stories. That was my very first drop.
What qualifications do you have to do this?
You got to have tickets. You got to have like a RADA ticket, which you go to do in Melbourne for a week. And rescue courses and stuff like that.
So you're just a good abseiler, are you?
Yeah.
Now tell me, how many different harnesses and things have you got on to make sure you're safe?
So I've got one harness on, and I've got my rig here, which is my basically go button, takes it up and down, and
then
I've got my safety here, which is that grabs in case all this fails. Yeah.
But you are totally reliant on a few pins, if I can call them, into your roof, aren't you? Is that what you hook onto?
Yeah, we've got anchors up on the roof, yeah.
Yeah, and if one of those anchors come out, you're gone.
And I've also got one more in case that fails. And if that fails, then it's just my time to go.
Right, God, don't say that. Now, Ryan, what if you need to go for a wee? What do you do?
This only takes about 45 minutes, so I'll hold it for that.
You've got a bucket.
Yeah, yeah. There's also the bucket.
You got to use something to wash the windows with, Dits.
And what's your mate's name, Ryan?
James.
Righto. So you two, you'd have to get on well together, surely.
Yeah, a little bit. He's all right.
You get a bit sick of it 45 minutes right next to him.
No, but you've got to have a lot of trust in each other, I would have thought.
I would do, definitely.
Do you talk or listen to the radio?
Sometimes we talk. I forgot my radio today, so we have to have a conversation
for the
next
week.
All right.
Now, my next question.
What's the pay like?
Yeah. Do you get sort of danger pay?
There's no danger pay. Just normal
How much more do you get than a normal window cleaner on ground level?
A couple of bucks more, I reckon.
A couple of bucks and a hair more.
Yeah. Now, we just do it for fun.
What if you drop something?
Everything's attached to us.
Everything?
Everything.
Everything's like on the end of a string or the end of a rope,
is it? Yeah, it's all attached to me, so, yeah, I can't fall off.
All right.
I've got a bucket design, so
it's
all good.
Now, you're coming down, say, a hotel block or something. You must have seen...
Oh, yeah.
You must have seen some great sights
good
in your time.
Question.
There's a few things we get to see, but usually it's that old man, so.
Like us too, yeah. Hey, Ryan, thanks for talking to us, mate. You've got a real fascinating job. Well done.
No worries. Thank you.
Who's the business you work for? Give them a quick plug.
It's Sky High Access.
Right.
Sky High Access.
Right.
For your cleaning needs.
Sounds like the Mile High Club, doesn't it?
Good on you, boys.
Well done, Ryan. There you go. Two brave boys hovering outside our window. Now, we're on the 13th floor, so they're a long way up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I bet they see some great things, Ruth.
Oh, they would.
Yeah.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point.
Ruin Dids $1,000 pressure test.
We're heading up to the Adelaide Hills. Ru, where are we going to?
Gamaraka.
Yeah.
G'day, Ashley.
How are we, gentlemen?
Very well, mate. What are you up to today?
Off to prepare for a bit of training I've got to do tomorrow.
What sort of training?
Expand on that, please.
I work for SA Power Network, so tomorrow we'll be doing some rescue from heights training.
Right. Yeah, I bet you just organise some power.
do you want me to hit him for you, Ashley? Or
sorry,
yeah,
Ashley.
Yeah, no,
sorry,
I'll
did
find
I say
no
that
worry.
Out of loud?
When you
sorry.
Say, yeah. When you say you work for SA Power Networks these days, do people automatically go to the negatives, unfortunately?
I don't think so.
Just dits.
Only me.
Now, Ashley, on the couple of weekends ago, we were driving back from the Riverland, and I thought I'd duck through the hills way to get back to Arndorf. And the old, you know, your what do you call it, GPS?
Yeah.
We had to go through Gamaraka. It said turn left to Gamaricha, which made us laugh. Yeah. The old Gamaricha.
Sounds like most people that look at it when they. See it written on a bit of paper.
Yeah.
Quite right.
All right. Now, most famous footballer to come out of Gamaraka. Scruff
local
Hannah,
ones. Scruff Hannah.
There you go.
I know Scruff quite well.
Yeah, good lad. Now,
his lad's doing all right at Centrals.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Ian Hannah, played for West Torrens. Yeah, left footer.
Yeah.
Now, let's try and win you $1,000. All right, Ashley?
Yep.
You go, Dits, so I can't remember.
All right. He's forgotten the topic. Right, Ashley, in 30 seconds, 10 things... you would put in your hair?
Rollers, clips, hairspray, gel, colours, run your fingers through it, some scissors, some hair clip, a bobby pin, a hat on it, a fascinator for the ladies. What else would we do? There's gel, hairspray. Oh, I don't know.
Sorry, Mary.
Something about Mary, yeah, some of that's semen. water, shampoo, conditioner.
Yeah, gee whiz. Rude, did you have to go there?
Well, I'll try and help.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Correct.
We've had back-to-back nines, haven't we?
Did you get the last one? The shampoo, water?
No, that was after the buzzer, unfortunately.
Ashley.
Water
Ashley.
Was in there.
Why didn't you go shampoo, conditioner straight away?
Well, I don't know.
Pressure.
All right.
No, I'm sure I fit it in.
Well, we'll have a listen to it.
We'll have a recount
But we wouldn't rip you off, I promise you, Ashley. If you got 10, we'll give you the money. So Our adjudicator will have a listen during this song. But Ashley, for the moment, I'm sorry, but now you're off to see Midnight Oil.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, he's pumped about that. Yeah,
he is.
No,
he loves Midnight Oil. You there, Ash?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, right. Do you like Midnight Oil?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Yeah, we've got a double to see Midnight Oil
tomorrow night.
All right. So at the moment it's 9. We'll have a listen, Ashley, and if you've got 10, we'll make sure you get the money. But
no worries.
All right. Good on you, Ash.
Thanks, mate.
There you go.
No, good stuff.
Unhappy customer.
Yeah.
7-Eleven it is. Ruined it's here on Triple M. All thanks to Southern Volkswagen.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my podcast one series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Tonight, it's Gruen on the ABC. This show's getting bigger and bigger. Will Anderson, good morning.
Thanks very much for having me, boys. I really appreciate it.
Now, speaking of Gruen, but we'll get to Gruen in just a moment. Okay. Now, what, a couple of days on Triple M breakfast in Melbourne. How are you holding up?
Sick of Eddie yet?
I mean, no, this, hey, nothing but love for Eddie Maguire, because here's the thing. I mean, obviously, it's been a big week for equal pay, and that's what we're going to talk about on Gruen. Hughesy's come out. He said he's going to have equal pay with Kate Langbrook. Ooh, and look, Eddie's done exactly the same thing. He just generously said to Darcy and I that he thinks that both of us should get paid the same as him, and he's willing to take a pay cut for that to happen. So
beautiful.
It's been a good week, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to do that with Dits as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Now, you are talking about equal pay. What sort of angle are you approaching with this?
Well, the interesting thing is that there's a couple of brands that are trying to get on board with equal pay, including during the Super Bowl last year, Audi ran an ad. And I mean, obviously the Super Bowl, for those who are not aware, is also the biggest day in advertising in the entire world. Companies pay millions of dollars for their 30-second ads that get paid in the middle of like the biggest TV show of the year. And they all debut on that day. And one of them from the car company Audi was all about equal pay. And so we started doing a scout around the world. And it turns out there's been a bunch of different campaigns along this issue. So we're going to weave some of the events of the week into having a look at how it's handled around the world.
Okay. And what about one other big Australian success story, the Hillsong Church? Tell us about that.
Well, here's the thing. With most religions sort of, you know, losing congregation at the moment, from a marketing sense, there's this Aussie church, Hillsong, who are massive absolutely all around the world now. They are growing. They have Hillsong now in 20 or 30 countries. They have these massive concerts. I don't know if you've seen any of these, but they're absolutely huge. They look like U2 concerts. And like, you know, all their marketing is amazing. You know, all their advertisements look like General Pants ads. You never see anyone over about the age of 35 in any of their commercials. I think, you know, normally you think about religion being older people, but I think at Hillsong, once you get to about 40, they send you to a Hillsong on a farm where you can be happy with the other old Hillsong people.
And now this is where Guy Sebastian made his start, you know, here in Adelaide. He was a singer at the Happy Clappers Church out north. He was, I'm telling you.
Well, they are, and they're massive. Like, they have had hits around the world, and this is their big secret, is music. They use music, and they have had great success. They've sold, you know, albums on the scale of bands like, bands like AC/DC and The Wiggles. We're talking about that many albums that they are selling, and it's an incredible success story. It's an Australian story. It's an Australian brand that is being shipped around the world. They've just roped in Justin Bieber to be part of the Hillsong Church. Right. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. I imagine there'll be some before and after videos. But
Do they have confession? That's where we'll be going.
I think he got into confession and he's still been going for the last 3.5 months.
Exactly. It's the best story the priest ever heard. You know the church here, though. The funny thing about the one in Adelaide, Will, if ever you come and visit, is they actually have traffic cops outside the church here.
What?
That's how busy it is. Funnily enough, the place is called Paradise, which is a suburb here, Will. Funnily enough, there's a church in Paradise, but they have traffic police because it's so busy. It's incredible.
Well, I mean, that does seem to be ideally that is the place to start it, wouldn't it be? Where are you going? Paradise.
Paradise,
Got to get to Paradise, mate.
Go there every Sunday.
Well, we look forward to watching Gruen tonight on the ABC at 8:30. Thanks so much.
Thanks, boys.
Will Anderson.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
All thanks to Southern Volkswagen at Ranella here on Triple M this morning. Roo, word has filtered through that you're a blubbering mess last night. What's going on?
Bloody footy's finished. And in footy season, I just devote myself to footy and footy shows and just trying to get all the latest information for this show to keep everyone informed of what's happening out there. But now that's all over. Started watching a couple of movies lately. We had movie night in our house on Friday night. And I let the wife pick it. We had all the kids up, so we're all on the lounge watching TV, and we watched a movie called Eddie the Eagle.
Yeah,
you remember Eddie the Eagle?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
yeah, the snow scare. What a great family movie it is! I hadn't even heard of it. It is an absolute cracker to watch with your family, teaching your kids about to dream and to never give up and persistence and. All the words and all the things that you want your kids to be in life. This kid was basically useless when he was young. You know, his eyes were, he had big Coke bottle glasses and, you know, did all the, kept breaking windows at home. He was trying to do long jump and pole vault and bloody all the Olympic things. He wanted to go to the Olympics was his dream. And everything kept getting in his way and, his dad always kept having to guard him and saying, you know, pull your head in, you got to get a job and you got to go to school and all this stuff. Anyway, end up making the Olympics. We all know the story. Didn't jump that far, but qualified and made it. Hugh Jackman was in it. Great movie. Anyway, very emotional movie. We were watching it. I think I shed a few tears that night. And then, bloody, last night I was just flicking around and Braveheart was on. What a tearjerker that is, Dick.
Braveheart?
Braveheart.
I thought it was about fighting.
Well, it is. It's very gory, I must admit, as well. I hadn't seen it for ages again, but I couldn't stop watching it, so I stayed up last night. But, you know, Mel Gibson, William Wallace, his sidekick, I think his name's Hamish, isn't it? The big red-headed bloke with dreadlocks. When his dad died, was that a sad scene in the movie? Poor.
What are you laughing for?
Well, like, you know, I'm trying to laugh so I don't start crying again now. You know how you know, it sort of gets you a bit. Don't you cry in movies? What are you too tough?
No. I here's the movie that made me cry.
Remember how we were always saying what a pain you are? You're the world's worst dog. Don't believe it. Don't believe it even for a minute. Because you knew we couldn't find a better dog. You know what made you such a great dog?
Yeah, that's enough. What are you crying about a bloody dog?
Marley and Me. Have you seen Marley and Me?
No.
You will howl your eyes out. All right, sit on the couch with your kids tonight and watch Marley and Me. Oh, mate.
Do you have to like pets to cry at it, though?
I don't think so. Right. But it probably helps. Probably helps if you've had a dog or two. But, that was a real tearjerker.
What about Rocky?
I don't.
Listen to this. This is trainer dying.
Hurry up and die.
Turn it up, Mel. See if you can understand this bit.
What?
Series.
His acting made me cry.
That was very emotional.
No, come on,
Don't
take that seriously.
He did so much for Rocky.
He's the worst actor I've ever seen in my life.
He's an inspiration. He is.
Drew, it's not real.
What do you mean?
Rocky is not based on a real person.
I know it's not real, but you get inside the character and you can just picture yourself. Hey, let's take some calls in, Dits. What are movies that make men cry? All right, let's take some calls. 1-3-3-5-3. Come on, dob yourself in. Dob your husband in. Movies that make men cry. Give us a buzz.
The prisoner wishes to say a word.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, movies that make...
Phones have lit up. We've got movies. A very emotional listener base here at Triple M, haven't we, Dits?
All of our men have got a heart, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, Dits. Let's go to Woodcroft. Michael.
Hello, Michael.
How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, Michael.
Good. Which movie made you cry, Michael?
It was The Green Mile.
The Green Mile.
Which part?
At the end where... can't remember his name at the moment, when the old fella died. Being told, don't put me in the dark. That's when it got me.
Right. Oh, he's a little bit emotional now?
At the moment, yeah. Just think back on it now.
It's
a good movie.
Gee, Michael, sorry about my counterpart. You're just laughing at
you. I'm not laughing at him. I think it's
great.
Right.
I laughed at myself too.
Gee. Now, the Green Mile is the basically the death walk, isn't it? Isn't it the Green Mile is when,
pretty
they,
much.
When they have to walk from their cell to the, you know, where they're going to be executed.
How tough's that?
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. The Green Stephen King movie.
Yeah, Dead Man Walking, basically, once you take that walk, Roy.
Yeah, absolutely. Hello. Let's go to Townsville, Alana.
Hello.
Where, are you from Townsville?
Yes.
What are you doing in Adelaide?
What are you doing here?
Oh, my husband inconvenienced me by joining the army.
Oh, God.
That'd make you cry.
All right, well, dob him in. What does he cry do?
Marley and me. He's a mess. Absolute mess. He cries for an hour after it.
But did you cry in it as well, Alana, or not?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was very sad, wasn't
it? Does he try and hide the fact that he cries? Does he sort of make out his clean, you know?
No, you can't hide that. That's ugly cry.
Oh, he's really sobbing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's what Dits does, too.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Alana. Right. We love dobbing blokes in.
Well, let's go to Crafers. G'day, Peter.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Do you tear up when you watch a movie every now and then, do you?
Oh, yeah. The one that really gets me is Ghost with Patrick Swayze, particularly now he's gone.
Yeah, that's hard, isn't it?
That's a brilliant film, yeah.
And what, do you just get the odd tear down the cheek, or do you really, you know, let it go?
That's a loser. I absolutely lose it with that, yeah.
You didn't try and hide it or not?
No. Mrs. Cummings, what are you crying about now? It's a film. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, geez, you got to have a bit of sympathy.
Sympathy.
Rue, do you just let it go or do you try and hold it
No,
in?
No, I try and hide it.
I try and hold it, and then how much does it hurt? Your throat starts hurting and everything.
Yeah,
and then...
I make out I'm going to do my hair if I got some and sort of wipe it on the way through and...
Yeah, probably doesn't work doing your hair, does it?
No, that really gives it away.
Yeah.
Let's go to Woodcroft. G'day, Sandy.
Hi.
How are you, Sandy?
I'm good, thanks.
Which movie, Sandy?
Hachi.
Which one's that?
That was about a dog, Japanese Akita.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't think of the actor's name.
Is that the one where he goes to the train station wait for him to get home from work?
Yep.
And then he dies, doesn't he? And the dog keeps coming.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that.
Every time I watch it.
That sounds sad. Yeah. I haven't seen that.
It's a good one.
Mm. Book it in, Dits.
All right, thanks, Sandy.
Let's go. Who we got here?
Stavros.
G'day, Stavros.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, buddy.
Which movie, Stavros?
I'm in Fort Wakefield, Highway.
No, which movie?
What movie? The Champ.
It's
probably a 70s movie. I watched it. Early 80s, about 12 years old.
Yeah.
Cried, had tears in my eyes. Then about a year or two later, we watched it again at a friend's place, and I knew what was going to happen, so I got up and went to a toilet at that stage.
Oh, yeah, big softy,
yeah,
Stavros.
Yeah, weak Stavros.
With a name like Stavros, you're not allowed to cry when you watch a movie.
No.
The second time I didn't, but everyone else was.
Did they? Yeah, that's good. Good on you, mate. Well done. Let's go to Clarence Park. G'day, Mark.
G'day, Ruth. How you going?
What brought a tear to your eye, mate? What movie?
Oh, mate, I'm just choking up now.
Really?
Terminator 2.
Oh, what? Which part?
Ah, right at the end where he's on the chain and Sarah Connor's slowly lowering down into the vat of molten oil.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going down, and then he gives a thumbs up at the end as he goes in. It's just, oh, it's just tearing me up now.
You poor bugger.
Good on you, Mark. Right hey, on, Mark. There was another show on TV that made men cry.
And it's been 37 long years since they signed and the time has been a 37-year drought has ended, the longest drought in the AFL. And they go nuts here at the MCG. The Tigers have done it.
Oh, that's cruel, dude. That's cool.
There you go. All right, I'll put you out of your misery. There you go.
I can't hide that one.
Oh, look, gather yourself together during the news.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Aru, there's an alarming article that's been written today. I've read it on, we've both read it on news.com.au.
Yep.
Talking about the fact that a lot of our major car manufacturers, not only here but around the world, actually tell porkies about their fuel efficiency.
Well, they do. Oh, the porkies or the testing that they used, it's to test how efficient their cars are perhaps done incorrectly. I think in Australia, they test them in a laboratory, okay, yeah, where it's a very different environment to perhaps out on the road. And what they're finding is what they say your car is, how efficient your car is actually quite different when you use it. Like significantly different, and not just normal cars. We're talking about hybrid cars as well. Like, you know, you think you're buying a car to do the right thing by the environment, but you're actually not.
Really?
So very, very misleading. So people are saying perhaps we need to actually test the cars outside to get a more accurate measurement of what they're actually
under
using.
Under real conditions. All right. Josh Dowling is the motoring editor at news.com.au. He joins us. Josh, good morning.
Morning, boys.
This doesn't sound too good.
Yeah, so you guys are spot on in terms of how the tests are conducted. And what's happened is the car companies have actually gotten really good at optimising the test. The test in the laboratory lasts about 20 minutes. It's designed to simulate a mix of city and highway driving. It's done between 20 and 25 degrees Celsius. They always run 98 premium unleaded. So, of course, it's really ideal scenarios. And if we look back at the results from the last 15 years, in 2004, they were only 10% real-world figures were inflated.
Yep.
Fast forward to 5 years ago, the figures are 23% inflated. And they're projected by 2020, if we keep going this way, the figures that we get in the real world will be up to 49% higher than what you see on the rating label in the showroom.
Wow. So they're not actually breaking the law at this stage. They're just pushing the boundaries. What people are calling for perhaps is new guidelines about how you do the measuring.
Yeah, so to be fair to the car industry, they're only doing the test according to what the umpire says. Mm. And it was originally designed to give consumers a like-for-like analogy. So they're saying, you know, in this, because every car maker tests in laboratories, so they're saying that in laboratory conditions, this is what the car gets. And in our experience, some cars are more accurate than others, and some don't push it to the absolute limit. But the changes are coming whether we're ready for it or not, which is great news. So in Europe, they're working on right now some real-world testing procedures, and Australia is going to be following those in the next 3 to 5 years.
All right, well, that's good. Josh, could I ask, though, I think cars have improved greatly, though, haven't they, in recent years? I mean, I can think, just from personal experience, you know, a lot of our cars now will have a gauge on it saying 8 litres per 100 Ks, or, you know, you get a number. Those numbers, from what I can gather, have been coming down a lot, though.
There's no doubt that petrol engine efficiency has become a lot better in the last 10 years. But what's happened on the opposite side of that is cars have gotten heavier. We've got more airbags, more electronics, more gadgets. So if we put a modern engine in a 1978 Commodore, it'd probably use as much as a Toyota Prius. But the trouble is we're putting these really super efficient engines in cars that now weigh 1,500 or 1,600 kilos, whereas 10, 15 years ago they would weigh 1,000 kilos or 100 kilos. So it's a balancing act.
I would have thought our cars would be lighter than what they were. I just pictured the old, you know, the old Holdens, for instance. So you'd have a Prang and you'd hardly dent it, whereas now you have a Prang and it just crumbles up like a bloody cardboard box.
Well, that's another great urban myth. So we look at those historical crash shots of HQ Kingswood's going into a brick wall, and the car's largely intact. The trouble is, the dummy isn't. And what we're designing cars now for is for the car to absorb most of the impact, so it looks like a sardine can after you've had a crash. But chances are you've got a better chance of survival because the car has absorbed most of the deceleration.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah. A different question here without notice, Josh, is that I'm amazed as well at the number of recalls you get with cars these days. Maybe it's always been happening, but you know how often there'll be some sort of public notice saying, you know, if you've, bought such and such a car.
Seatbelt's no good.
Yeah, you've got to bring it back or the tow bar's faulty or something. It seems to happen a heck of a lot, Josh.
No, you're on the money there. Recalls have increased. We used to have about 200 a year. We're on track for 350, 360 a year, so one a day in effect. A couple of reasons for that. We've become better at identifying the problems. Cars are also becoming more complex, so there's more things to go wrong. And also, the car makers are really concerned now. We've had a couple of big global recalls. They're very concerned about any legal ramifications. And, of course, we're in the middle of a massive Takata airbag recall, which affects more than a dozen brands in Australia, 2.3 million cars, about one in seven cars on the road. So you're absolutely right. We are seeing more.
Is that any one of those one incidents, is that really costly to a big company, or do they factor that in, do you think?
Well, every car you buy, or every car sold, I should say, has money held back by the manufacturer to cover warranty costs down the track.
Yep.
But this Takata airbag recall has absolutely blown those to smithereens, so that's coming out of the car company's budget, and they'll then pursue Takata for that money.
Yep.
The other thing that's worth pointing out is safety recalls, whether it's cars or any other product, they're all voluntary. And so you get some car companies will recall a car for a faulty power window switch, and other car companies will wait until there's a really serious problem, like an airbag not going off or the engine catching fire. So every car maker applies their own sets of rules, and that's why the ACCC is considering making this Takata airbag recall compulsory, because it doesn't think the car industry has done enough to get these cars fixed.
Okay. Hey, Josh, thanks for that. Fantastic.
Pleasure, guys.
Good on you, Josh.
There you go. Josh Dowling is the motoring editor at news.com.au.
Interesting stuff.
He knows his stuff too, doesn't he?
Sure does.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with Ruined Dits. Now, Roo, you know, we're trying to get people to take the pledge to quit with Hado.
Yep.
Now, you can follow Hado's story and have the chance to be rewarded for taking the pledge to quit. Go to quitwithhado.com.au and you'll find heaps of tips there. Now, we've got a gentleman on the line who's taking part, and I'm wrapped in this. This is great.
Yeah, good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, guys. And yourself?
Good. How's it going, giving up the fags?
I won't lie. It was tough at the start, but each day gets easier, and you just got to find things to do to distract yourself.
Now, Glenn, am I right in saying that you've got cancer?
Yes.
Can you describe that to us? What have you got?
I've got a rare form of blood cancer called Waldenstrom's disease. Wow. It's currently incurable, but I am taking part in a clinical drug trial to hopefully find a cure for it, or a way of treating it more than a cure, and help other people.
How long have you had that for?
I've been battling it for 7 years now.
Seven years? Yeah. Gee, so during that time, have you undergone sort of loads of chemo and that type of thing?
Yeah, I've had chemo, I've had a stem cell harvest, I've had high-dose chemo, I've had a lot of needles.
fair enough. God. So you're battling that, and so how difficult has it been for you? Because I imagine sometimes you just feel like a smoke just to...
Stress relief.
Yeah, stress relief and ease the tension.
Yeah, more than that. Sometimes it's more of a why not, you know, like my cancer's not related to my smoking, so it was more, it's not going to make any difference, but I've recently just had my second son, and, I want to try and fight as hard as I can to be around for as long as I can to teach him everything I need to.
Fantastic. So how old is your other son?
8 and 4.5 months old we've got.
All right.
Good, cool.
So tell us about your battle with smoking. How many days have you been off the fags for?
It would just be about 2.5 weeks now, and I just quit, and I went online, and because a mate had told me about the Hado quitting, and I watched a little clip of him sneaking out the back down for a sneaky dart, and I could relate to that, so I thought, you know what, I'll take part in this.
So what have you found yourself doing to try and fill the time in?
Working, and I've got a very attentive wife who likes to nag me, so she's on my back as well.
Oh,
and,
that's good.
It's the support of the whole family, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm sure she's proud of what you're doing, Glenn. Congratulations and all the best with it, mate. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
And good luck with your cancer treatment as well, mate. Hopefully you can find a cure and live a long, happy life.
Thanks, Rue. I appreciate it.
Good on you. Well done. That's Glenn. And look, we're wrapped for anyone that's taking part in this. We want to get behind people and try and help you quit. You can go to quitwithhato.com.au. You'll find quitting tips from Quitline. And you can also download an app. It's called the Quit Buddy app.
Good on Hato. He's inspiring people out there in South Australia, and he's doing a fantastic job himself, isn't he? I know he was struggling with it early. You could see him. He was angry. He was frustrated. He was edgy. He was eating plenty and spending money on all sorts of things, but he's doing a really good job. So keep it up, Hato, and well done to Glenn.
That is it for us today, Roo, and a good chat there with Glenn. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to see a bloke having a go, having a crack, and well done to Hato for inspiring plenty of people.
Don't miss a minute of Roo and Dits for breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella, they're closer than you think.